This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Now we talk a lot about the future of college sports, the future of college football, and why maybe it's not going to matter at the end of the day that CSU's going to the Pac-12. Because the Power Four conferences are going to separate. Here's another one of those stories from Pete Dammel and ESPN. The Big Ten discussing a $2 billion private capital deal. They're in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse at least $2 billion into the league and its schools. The discussions include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046, according to ESPN. Would ensure long-term stability in the Big Ten. According to sources, the private capital deal and grant of rights extension have been discussed for months and presented in multiple forms. A deal and the grant of rights extension would also be a distinct blow to the outside entities attempting to form super leagues around college sports. I mean, it's just another story that's going to lead us to believe that the lesser conferences, the G5, G6, whatever, there's just going to be no room. I've said this for years now. Eventually, we're going to get to an AFC and an NFC in college football. And it will be the Big Ten and the SEC forming two monster conferences, 30 teams on one side, 30 teams on the other. And then the rest, I don't know. We create another tier of college football. And can those teams survive? I just don't know. It's crazy times, but this is just another story.
FBS 1 and FBS 2.
I guess. I just think that we're going to see more and more of that as we progress here. All right, couple of housekeeping items in the NFL. The Ravens are still kind of mum on Lamar Jackson and what they're going to do potentially this weekend. He could still play this weekend. They have not answered yes or no about Lamar saying, you know, whether he has a chance to play against Houston. Boy, I suppose if there's a chance he can play, but man, don't you put yourself, you put the long term at great risk if Lamar goes down again in this game against a tough Houston Texans defense. But this is an interesting week. In we talked about some of the matchups here, but with the Ravens potentially, they lose to Houston, Mike. They're 1-4, and suddenly you're wondering, because even when they have Lamar Jackson, they've had turnover issues. Their defense is awful. It's one of the worst defenses I've seen Baltimore put out there in years. Derrick Henry doesn't look like Derrick Henry from last year. You've got a lot of issues. So you're home against the Texans. Then you're home against the Rams, who are a pretty good football team. Then you're home against the Bears. At Miami, at Minnesota. But can they survive this stretch, just the Texans and the Rams? Then things get a little bit easier for them. So this is an important game. But you don't want to be 1-4 as you try to get Lamar Jackson back to health. But they've got a lot of issues outside of just the Lamar thing. So something to look out for, especially if you have them on your fantasy football team like I do. Scary situation.
Now, did you draft him on your fantasy football team because you really like him or because you like what he can do.
Yes. He's the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. There's just no question. And you argue with me on this. And I don't know. You wore your Ravens purple today. I don't know why you're arguing with me.
How dare you? That's offensive. This is my Washington Huskies purple.
Oh, okay. You know, this guy wore the I'm interviewing Lindsey Oates, UNC volleyball coach, before they play Washington. And you wear that shirt. But what was your response?
It was Thursday.
He wears it every Thursday. So you do laundry every week. Like, you got to do it because you have your Thursday shirts, your Wednesday shirts, your Monday shirts. You have to be up on your laundry situation there, Mike.
Absolutely.
Eagles receiver A.J. Brown. Conlon and I were talking about this a little bit. Took responsibility, according to ESPN Wednesday, for letting his frustrations boil over Sunday and stated that his post on social media wasn't directed at anyone inside the building, including Jalen Hurts. He said, I don't think it's a bad thing for wanting the ball. It's just, it's not just for targets or anything to put numbers up. No, I see that we're struggling, and I'm a guy that wants the ball in those times when we can't find a way. Give it to me. When the game's on the line, give the ball to me. I want that. I want that pressure. I put it on myself, and I work hard for it. So you've got, like, this is how good the Eagles are, I guess. They're the best team in football, depending on who you ask, but most would probably say the Philadelphia Eagles are number one or darn close. And yet, They're not satisfied. I mean, well, and A.J. Brown's not getting his numbers. I just wonder if that's something that could fester as the season rolls along here.
I'm hearing from the spotter behind me, Conlon, that he was targeted 8 times.
Yeah, I don't know why he's even beginning to throw posts out like that. Like, give me the ball. If you're targeted 8 times, I just think it's a interesting time for the Eagles, but there is a part in my brain, a fearful part of my brain, that's like, is this the week that a really good Eagles team puts it all together? That's how scary the Philadelphia Eagles are. Like, they don't feel like they've put this thing together yet. They're not at that point. And they're 4-0. And they're winning in just a bunch of different ways. And they're beating good teams while they do it. You know, they beat the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are that bad. You saw what they did against Green Bay. Tie at 40. Stupidest thing ever. Beat the Chiefs. Beat the Rams. Beat the Buccaneers. These are good football teams that they're beating. And if they beat the Broncos, that would be another good football team. But you don't dare go there. What's the score going to be, Mike?
It's not Friday yet, Brady.
No, you can make your picks. Nobody cares. You're not tracking your picks, are you?
You're so abusive.
Are you tracking your picks? I didn't know. I didn't know that they meant that much to you. Are you actually tracking your picks?
I mean, yes. I've been picking the Broncos, and so far I'm
But
I'm
when we
not...
do the picks on Friday, everybody knows that, you actually track your picks if you're taking Wyoming or Air Force or whatever?
Yes, I do have those on my desk, and I am 4-2 this week. I've beaten everybody on Wine at 9.
You're 4-2
just for this
week? Who did you, what? You're 4-2 this week?
Yeah.
Oh, based on last week's picks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I beat everybody. Everybody went 3-3 except for one person who went 1-5. Not going to say who.
Who went 1-5?
Not going to say who.
Was it Brian?
Tomorrow.
Was it Brian?
Not going to say who
okay.
until tomorrow.
All right. There you go. You can keep your secret. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Had a very interesting chat this morning on the Two Man Game podcast. I do two different podcasts here. One is with UNC head football coach Ed Lamb, Football 52, and the other is the Two Man Game with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. And I've had a lot of people asking me this question because we're going to bring Madden on in a moment. Great name, by the way. And you know, people are saying, well, why is he going to Wyoming? Why doesn't he just go play for UNC? And again, UNC is a good program. And the Big Sky Conference, they have some good teams. But the Mountain West is different. It is a better opportunity than UNC, kind of. And so that's one reason. But Coach Smiley talked about it too. Like, I kind of want him to have an opportunity to spread his wings. And to, you know, he's been around me in the basketball world. He's been fortunate to grow up around here too, because Steve Smiley has the job stability. but kind of wants to give him that, have him take that opportunity to go elsewhere. He's not going far. He's going to Wyoming. But also, it's tough because you have to kind of rewire your brain a little bit as a coach who now is bringing your son in. Because either, like, if they're not the best player on the roster, and then you're treating them like they're the best player on the roster, there's going to be issues. There's going to be the nepotism discussions. You know, we talked about that with UNC and Ed McCaffrey. We talked about it even with CU, but there was not, some could argue that, but Shadur was a good quarterback. There was no debate. You know, and Shiloh was all right on the defensive side. But I think with Coach Smiley, for him, this is just the kind of guy he is, the kind of dude he is. He looks at that and says, you know, I don't want to even get into one of those situations where maybe they're frustrated after a long week of practice and they start dogging on the coach. I mean, it happens. Oh, man, Smiley's really driving us crazy. Suddenly you can't do that kind of stuff if the coach's son's just hanging around. Oh, here comes Madden. Got to be quiet. So I think there's a lot of those things that you as a head coach have to be really confident in your situation. And you have to know if he struggles, you have to be the guy that's like, yeah, you're not playing. Yeah, you haven't been good. And that happens. We've seen that before. But I'm excited to see what Madden can do in Wyoming. Sundance Wicks is like, Steve Smiley and Sundance Wicks are best friends. They sound kind of like each other. If you listen to them talk, we've interviewed both. But one has a lot more energy, and that's Sundance. So I'm excited to see kind of how that process went down. Because how does that process go down when your dad's a Division I coach? He's making those calls all the time. And now suddenly Steve Smiley's on the other side of those phone calls. Like, I wouldn't have said that. Or, oh, maybe I would use that. So I think that whole process is kind of fascinating. So Madden's going to join us on the program a little bit later on. I do suggest you check that podcast out. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you can find them on 1310kfka.com. A lot of great podcasts there. Did Derbs get his Front Range Spare Change podcast done yesterday, Mike?
The dude down the hall? It is online at 1310kfka.com.
I got to check that out.
Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
I might have to cheat this week and listen to his picks because I think he's been – I think the crew, the Front Range Spare Change crew, has been doing pretty good.
They have asked for my advice recently, because I was 4-2 this week.
But what were you the week before that? Are you just tracking week by week?
Well, I'm not going to say that I was in last place the week before that,
oh,
but
okay.
I think I
that's,
was in last
that's
place.
That's why you're tracking
that.
Your picks now, because suddenly you're not terrible.
Look, I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I think, well, I was accidentally in first place, mostly because I was the only person who's seen a Washington State game all the way through.
You want to... Yeah, well, you're trying to act like you're a king around here for that pick, but I think
Tanner picked him as well.
I picked Washington State to cover.
I was just talking about the morning team.
Oh, okay. Here's the games I'm having trouble with. UNLV in Wyoming.
We don't pick that.
Oh, you guys don't?
No.
What's wrong with Wyoming? Tanner
I don't know.
Is
Tanner's
like Wyoming.
Tanner's the one that calls this.
If Tanner could be a state, he would be Wyoming. Why is he not talking about Wyoming?
He'd be more like Arkansas or Alabama.
Why?
He'd be something like Deep South.
UNLV is a 3.5-point dog. They're undefeated, but they haven't really beat anybody. So I'm having trouble with that one, Mike. So please, I'm all ears. Thoughts?
Well, I have a quarter.
Oh, so just a flip. Okay. CSU San Diego State? So you're saying
could, that someone could lose their job over
this.
You think
so? Give me a prediction. They lose to San Diego State. It's a short weekend, or it's a longer weekend. Does Jay Norvell survive the weekend?
I don't think he does if they lose to San Diego State. And what I'm thinking right now, I think San Diego State wins.
Oof. I like Jay Norvell. No, but if you're 1-4, but you feel like you're 0-5 going into the rest of your conference play, it's not going to look great because San Diego State's not necessarily a world. They're 3-1, but again, you start finding out who these teams are a little bit more as you get into your conference. The schedule is not favorable the rest of the way for CSU, because then you have Fresno State. They're 4-1. They were projected to be a top-tier team in the Mountain West. Hawaii is not a gimme right now. Hawaii is a decent team. Why at Wyoming is not a gimme. That defense is pretty legit. UNLV's tough. We'll find out if they're really good, pretty good coming up against Wyoming. New Mexico's interesting. At Boise State, and then home against Air Force. How many wins are on the schedule, Mike? If you're saying they lose to San Diego State tomorrow night, do you have them losing the rest? Are you really willing to go that far?
Oh, I'm willing to say that they could accidentally beat one of those teams. And, of course, injuries. You know, one of those teams could lose a bunch of players. And also, Air Force just has no defense.
Yeah, but they have offense.
They have offense, but, you know, turnovers. Turnovers happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, the reason for firing a coach in the middle of the season is always, like, why do you do it? Is it, because there's guys on this roster that commit to Jay Norvell. Like, that's why they're there. They're committing to Jay Norvell and his staff, defensive staff, offensive staff. It's always tough on the student athletes when you do that. But then I ask this question, like, how dialed in are the student athletes right now after they're seeing this season spiral? Because they're not just losing games. They're uninspiring out there. 20-3 to Washington State, who is a bad football team. 17-16, going for two and not getting it, and we all know about the play call loss to UTSA, is a tough loss. And then the Northern Colorado game. 21-17, you win, but we all kind of feel like, why the hell they overturned that call. Rams fans will tell you they feel like they should be 0-4. If they were 0-4, would Jay Norvell be on this team? Did that overturned call save Jay Norvell's job?
No. No, I think either way he would still have a job. I think this weekend you find out whether he has a job or not. If he wins, has a job.
You're not firing a guy after a win. If you didn't fire him after that performance against Washington State. I'm really interested in this game. And how the play calling works, what Matt Mummy, because I asked Brohard on Tuesday, like, who's calling the plays? And I got a 30-minute answer.
Like, not a question mark.
Not a direct response, like not a direct answer. What do I always say on the show, Mike? We bring the logic. If you're asked a yes or no question and it's anything but yes or no, you've got problems.
He talked kind of, it felt like he was talking like a politician.
And to be fair, he works for CSU. So he writes for CSURams.com, so he's not going to get on the air and be like, oh, yeah, no, it's all Matt Mummy and, you know, away they go and Jay's awful. No, he's not going to do that. He's a great writer. He's an excellent writer. That's why we like to feature him on the show. But the question was, who's calling the plays? The answer I got was, well, they're all kind of communicating. I mean, I asked Ted that. He's like, there's no time for communicating. You got what's the play clock? What's the play clock in college football?
35 seconds?
You got 35 seconds. You got 15 seconds to get the play call into the quarterback. Because then they got to shut it off. So nobody, you're not conversing. You're not going, hey, let's run banana peel slip west 42 zig.
No, I don't like that one.
I don't think so. Okay, fine. How about blah, 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 blah. You don't have time to do that.
Thanks to our spotter Conlon here, it's 40.
40 seconds. Okay, you got an extra 5 seconds. You're not conversing. The conversing happens now. You're in the lab now, drawing all this stuff up, and you're putting it out there on practice. So I said it on Wednesday's show or Tuesday's show. When you start getting to a team that has so many questions, and then they're benching their starting quarterback, who is their prized quarterback, their prized possession, and then you're making an adjustment to how you're calling plays, that's never a good sign. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't work out. I like Matt Mummy. He's the son of Air Raid. I like Matt Mummy a lot. I'm rooting for that dude. I'm rooting for Jay Norvell. But if it was going to work, then why wasn't that the plan in July? If Jackson Brissot is as good as now Jay's saying he can be, why wasn't he the plan in July? Now, again, we see quarterbacks that weren't the guy take over, and away they go. It kind of worked for CSU when they benched Clay Millen, and they went with Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. That wasn't that long ago. Big Hub. Brady, do you think Jay could end up having the worst record in CSU recent history? Ooh. How bad was Adazio's second year? What year was that? 2021? Because 2020 doesn't count. 2021, when Adazio was fired, they won three games. They're going to win more than three. Michael's saying no. He may not get to that record, Big Hub, because if you lose Friday night, then, you know, he won two games on a, or he won one game on a shortened season for him. Bobo was typically what a, you know, his first 2 years were good, first 3 years were good. They won four his final year. 2018, they won three. 2017 was when they were in their 7-5 or 7-6 because they lost their bowl games. I don't know. Three wins. Who do you feel like confident right now and say, yeah, CSU's winning that game? You're obviously not there for San Diego State. I don't know that I am either. Picks are on Friday, everybody knows that. I don't look at Fresno State and think that's a win. I don't look at Hawaii right now and think that's an obvious win. I don't look at Wyoming and think that's an obvious win. I don't look at UNLV and think that's an obvious win. Same for New Mexico, same for Boise State, and same for Air Force. There's nothing on this schedule that I go, there you go. That's a get-right game. If they beat San Diego State, if they beat them easily, then maybe my tune changes a bit. I mean, we got Kevin Lytle from the Colorado, and who never does this, told Tanner and Brian on Good Morning NoCo that this is a must-win game. Have you ever heard Kevin Lytle say must-win? Outside of mathematically, this is a must-win game to get you into a bowl or to get into the Mountain West. Like the Fresno State game last year was a must-win to get you into the Mountain West championship game, which they lost. I've never heard Kevin say that, unless it's like mathematically impossible to get where you want to go if you lose. Like, you could lose this game and win the rest and be in the Mountain West championship game. I think the writing on the wall is for Jay Norvell, get to the conference championship game and we'll talk. Anything less than that. But then again, if you win four, you know, what are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games left. What if they go 6-2? In the conference, and then they end up winning 7 games. Is that might be enough? You go on a pretty good run to end the season in conference play. You dominated. You might say you dominated the last 2 years. Suddenly things change. So it is possible. It's not looking good right now, because I always say this, Mike. Like I said this about the Broncos. If you can't beat Cincinnati, who are you going to beat? For CSU, if you can't beat UTSA, if you can't beat Washington State, and if you kind of can't beat UNC, who are you going to beat? Where are the wins? Go Pokes says, you forgot the Niner post route. Yeah, you just don't have the time. You hear these guys rattle off plays. It's amazing. You don't have time to converse. We're not conversing here. This isn't an open discussion. It's not Coach Klein and Waterboy. Has anybody got any ideas? This isn't that. This is, I have to have a play call and I got to get it in, because how many coaches have we seen, Nathaniel Hackett, struggle to get a play call in? NFL head coaches have a hard time getting play calls to their quarterbacks, and you mean to tell me we're taking 20 seconds to talk about what we're going to do? Ed Lamb told me yesterday, the offensive coordinator has his play sheet, and he is looking down at his play sheet, and he has a marker standing next to him telling him what the result of the play was. They're not even watching the game half the time. They go back and watch it in film. They're sitting down here staring at the play sheet. That's why you see Sean Payton, his eyes are down on his play sheet more often than not, because they call the play in, and right when they line up to go run it, you're looking down. Maybe you're glancing up to see the play, but you are already planning out what the next play is in your brain. it's not just a run or a pass, like the actual play. What are the blocking assignments? What does that look like? There is a lot to this, and you're not getting that done in 40 seconds. You're calling that play. As soon as the ball is down, as soon as the guy is down, you're calling the next play. Sorry, Mike, I got texts. Smitty says 6-6 means change. So 7 wins. There you go. The Sheep spend 20 seconds talking about their feelings before they call the play. Thank you, Go Pokes. 30 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by Chevron. I spotted Tanner Schwint out in the hallway, and we have 11 minutes, apparently, of talk time
left. Can you
left.
Be one... May I yell at your producer real quick?
Sure, yeah.
Stop being who you are and be better than who you are. He was turning you off in my ears, couldn't hear anything he said, but I'm assuming he said thank you so much for being
like
here.
Sound like Michael to turn people off.
So... Thanks for having me on, Brady. And
for the listeners, they are mean to me off the air.
No,
so
you're
abused.
Abusive off the air.
Yeah.
And that's why we bring it to the air.
Yes.
And we have to punish you on the air.
Correct.
So abused.
I don't feel that way.
It's not
I, for one, think we have a very charming back
it.
And forth.
Yeah. Well, one of it's charming. The other one's just like, why is he still... able to have a microphone in front of him.
Who are the Rockies going to hire as their next general manager, Tanner?
Thad Levine, you've convinced me of this, Brady.
That's the one I like.
Because, like, listen, a good baseball general managers, you don't normally know their name unless they're, like, you know, down in Atlanta and, see, I can't even remember
or Billy
his name
Bean,
right now.
Because of the movie.
You shouldn't hear the GM's name. If things are going well, you don't hear the GM's name. So, you know, I liked somebody out of maybe the Tampa Bay Rays organization just because they spend no money and they always have a good team. And they were the team that when they had no starting pitching, they go to a six-man rotation and they just kind of do bullpen games. So I wouldn't mind somebody out of there, but you just start talking about Thad Levine and, like, listen, the Minnesota Twins don't like spending money, and he built a very good team there. I actually would love to see him and Rocco Baldelli, who was the manager for the Twins.
Yeah.
I'd like to take them both. Let's get a package deal.
I think what you're probably going to do is you're going to Walker Monfort would be like is what his role is, the president overall, the business side of things, and then you have a president of baseball operations, and then probably a general manager that's dealing specifically with player roster development contracts.
I'll be curious if they go that route or if they just name a general manager and Walker is the pseudo. I really think Walker knows that he's going to stay in his lane. And
I think
it was his comment that said outside of the organization. He's grown up here in Northern Colorado, hearing this forever of when are we going to have a good baseball team in the state of Colorado? Walker can finally do something about it.
Yeah, he kind of went up. When the hire was announced, the promotion was announced, I was
everybody,
like, because you and I have always gone rounds of like, he should sell the team. And then you're like, he's doing it for his kids. And I don't love that because
you don't love kids.
I love kids.
Breaking news on the whole show: Brady hates puppies and children.
This isn't your tire shop, you know. This isn't your family farm. This is the fans franchise.
We have learned this afternoon: Brady Hole hates puppies and children.
Now, I love puppies and I love children. Although mine's kind of both of them are kind of ornery, honestly. So, the dog, by the way. So we go to fill up the bathtub for the child,
right?
So he can take a bath, right?
That's typically why you fill up a bathtub.
You know, the kid already, he's like getting ready, you know, starting to think about it. And I leave, go get something, come back in. And the child's standing at the tub, not getting in because the dog is in the bathtub. Just sitting there. And he does it every night now. He jumps into the bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, like, I understand why you've got an inside dog, but animals belong in the outside world.
No. I'm telling you, dude.
And yes, I would be Wyoming, by the way.
You spend 5 minutes with Bear, you won't put him outside.
I will
you
100%.
It will not happen.
Animals don't belong inside.
Dude, these are different. I grew up on a farm. Farm dogs, yeah, they belong outside. But no. When you get a dog like Bear, he ain't going anywhere.
No, I know.
He doesn't even sleep in the kennel anymore. He just sleeps on me.
Your dog, Indy, your original Corgi, yeah. Shouldn't have been an inside dog.
Well, he was a terrible dog. Should have given him to you.
Can your dog even bear being outside without
39
you guys?
Minutes
you
after the
be fired. Like, your replacement is right behind
he's
you.
He's looking at you.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Just licking his chops back. He's like, this is the standard they have here.
Yeah.
I can meet that.
Standard has dropped significantly. Michael, what are we got to take the sports thingy break? Let's get to that.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Man, they have everything. If you're a collector, if you're into the sports collection scene, they've got the sports memorabilia, sports cards, they've got Legos, they got Funko Pops, they got Pokemon cards, all of it. You got to check this place out, Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They're at 700 Automation Drive, Unit C. I just look them up. Just Google Diamond Valley Collectibles. Check out their website, Diamond Valley Collectibles. .com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub texting in from earlier. If Jay Norvell doesn't win Friday, then yeah, worst record in recent CSU history, because who will they beat moving forward? Yeah, it's the problem with if you do fire a head coach in the middle of the season, you give another guy a chance to try to earn, you know, as the interim coach, but I just don't look at the coaching staff and say, yeah, they've got a lot of these young and up-and-comers that are going to be big-time players or big-time coaches. I just don't see it. Faith texting in on Micah's nerd thing. I am nerdish. More Marvel than DC. Sorry, Michael, but more Star Wars than track. Sports nerd
for
sure.
Did she write track there?
No, she wrote Trek.
So she's being respectful.
Well, Star Trek, because they're ride around on a track and stuff, right? Isn't that what it is?
No. They're trekking through the stars.
Yeah, the four episodes I had to watch, it was like just random seasons, but they were like in the 70s and 80s. I don't know. It was just strange.
Was it The Next Generation or was it the original series?
I don't know.
I know one of them was The Next Generation because it was the episode The Measure of a Man.
What was that one about?
That was the one where Lieutenant Commander Data... my favorite character. One of the guys wanted to disassemble him and create a bunch of them.
Is he a robot?
What?
Is he a robot? They disassemble
an Android. and Picard was like, "No,
this.
You can't do this." So he defended him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the admiral said, "Well, we're going to make your first in command, Riker, be the prosecutor dude."
This is more boring than when I watched it. Just listening to you describe it is worse than watching it. When does he tell Skywalker that he's his dad?
That's a different franchise. That's Star Wars. That's episode 5.
I feel like they're
that's
the
a
same.
Really great moment in cinema. Really great moment in cinema.
I was never really a Star Wars... I never grew up watching Star Wars. So when I went back and watched it as an adult, it was like, it's all right. I'm not a sci-fi dude as much, although that Resident Alien was pretty good.
Resident Alien is something I call, like, it's accessible.
What do you call Severance, that show? Is that sci-fi?
I call Severance a school with really... Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to go
yeah,
here in the nerd
science
world
fiction.
With you, and
I've
you're
only
slapping
seen
my
one
hand.
Episode because I don't have
Colin,
Apple.
Have you seen Severance? Oh, what are you? Let him come to the microphone. Let him come to the microphone. Colin,
we'll
what
share
are,
this microphone. Go ahead.
That's creepy, man. I feel bad for you. What are you into? Conlon, the wonderful intern that you hear on Friday nights here on KFK.
I watch a lot of different things. It ranges from the superhero stuff like Micah.
Because he's a good person.
Whatever I'm into. I mean, there was one time I watched Friends all the way
through. Oh, yeah, Friends is great.
Like, binge watch that. It all depends on, like, what I'm in the mood for or, like, what I'm seeing pop up on my social media.
Do you like
media.
Weird stuff? weird stuff? Like strange thinker type TV shows?
Not like that.
So you probably wouldn't like Severance. Severance is weird. Severance is weird. I mean, but it's damn good.
The last Apple show I watched was Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso's great.
I love that one. I'm looking forward to that next season.
That's why we got Apple, was because of Ted Lasso. And then we found like five or six shows on there that were just phenomenal. So
yeah, that's some Apple soccer nonsense, Ted Lasso, and I will not have that in my area. I'm gonna stop commenting
good
about
job.
Soccer.
Good job. 12:49 the time. Well done. Conlon saved the day on that one for sure. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll wrap up hour number two. Madden Smiley gonna join the show. Son of Steve Smiley, commit to the Wyoming Cowboys, one of Colorado's top high school basketball players. Is heading up north. We'll talk to Madden coming up very soon. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to the Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Why?
You're in a weird mood today, Brady. Everybody around here.
I don't think it's any different than a typical day.
It's a little more different.
I mean, do you think maybe you're causing that to happen? I mean, you just came in with like a romantic ballad there.
This is like the third time I've used this song for your show.
Yeah, but maybe I just didn't notice it before. Sometimes I tune you out and I tune the things you do out, so maybe I just haven't noticed it.
I think the last time you commented on it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
That's weird that you remember that. Did you write that in your diary?
No, I don't have a diary.
Hey, it took a little. If it's not a direct yes or no, there's something to it. All right, coming up in the final hour of the show, we got Madden Smiley joining us, one of Colorado's top high school basketball players. He is going to play for Sundance Wicks and the Wyoming Cowboys next season. So excited to chat with him a bit. I met two Smileys in one day. I talked to Steve Smiley for the Two Man Game podcast, and then we have the Thursday night special. We're about to go 4-1. 4-1's when people really start paying attention to your greatness. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.